Hello and welcome again to Finding Truth Matters with Dr. Andrew Corbett. We're pleased you've been able to tune in.
Right now, do you know God? Right now, are you enjoying the peace that He has to offer?
We'd like to think that we're different, but it seems that in an attempt to find happiness, we're pursuing sameness, looking for what the majority have. The popular formula for happiness has actually disappointed most. There's only one way to find true and lasting happiness, and you'll find it in Jesus. It was Augustine who said of Jesus that our heart is restless until it rests in you. Come with Dr. Corbett tonight to explore this path to happiness and be different.
So I want to look at something that I think is pertinent to every one of us. I don't know if you've noticed, but in this room right now, there are some strange people. Can you spot them? We have quirky people. We have strange people. We have peculiar people. And do you realize these are all words that the Bible uses to describe Christians generally? It describes us as strangers. It describes us as peculiar. It describes us as being not like the world. And that's what I want to talk about, being different. Being different in a world of sameness. Because we live in a world where they want to, as it says in Romans chapter 12, squeeze you into its mould. And for the most part, we're blinded to the way the world does it. We don't even recognise that it's happening. It's not until you go somewhere else that you realise you've been squeezed and shaped by the world you live in. And it's funny in a strange, almost sad way, how everyone wants to be so different, and in the effort to be different, they end up being the same. Phil Cook makes this point in Branding Faith when he talks about Harley Davidson riders, how they've bought into this image that they're mavericks and they're individuals. They're all wearing the black leathers and the denim cut-off things and riding the same bikes. Well, in an effort to be different, everyone ends up just being the same. And why is it that so many people want to be different? Well, there seems to be a deep longing in the human heart to be, if we could put it this way, to be happy. I remember when I finished up working for Kmart, I did 10 years Kmart, and I was leaving to become a youth pastor in a church on no salary. And they said, well, what are you going to be doing? I said, well, I'm going to be a youth pastor. Oh, how many kids will you be looking after? Oh, there's about six that I'll be looking after. And oh, how much does it pay? Well, actually nothing. What are you doing it for? I said, well, it's just what I want to do. And then they all said this, well, as long as you're happy. Because for most people, the goal of life, the pursuit of life, is to be happy. It is to be happy. And I know that there are some people, and that's here today, and that's your goal too, to be happy. And it's a reasonable goal. There's nothing wrong with it. But have you noticed that with so many people looking for peace and happiness, they're not finding it? There is still a deep ache. Now, how do I know that? Just this week, I remarked to Kim when I saw something come up on the TV about there's a whole section of society now that's really being hit hard by mental illness and depression. And they want to have these campaigns where they can boost self-esteem and all the rest of it, without realising by doing that they're actually making the very cause of the problem even worse. We have so many things that people say will make them happy, and yet our society has never been sadder. We have about 10 doctors of one ilk or another, medical doctors in this church, and you just talk to them, and if you were to casually ask them, how much of what you're doing is involving people who are medicated for deep, 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 deep sadness? And if you'd asked that question 10, 20 years ago, I guarantee you, whatever the number is today, it's far more than it was 20 years ago. There's something happening in society where people are feeling sad and anxious. We now have primary school-aged children that cannot sleep at night for worry. I've got to tell you, that was never on my radar screen when I was a primary school-aged kid. Never. And today we have. We have a society that is beset with so much anxiety and so much sadness. And most people are living without this concept of being happy. Well, here's an offer. Would you be interested if I could show you how to find true peace and happiness? Would that interest you? Would that interest anyone if it was true peace and true happiness? Would that interest anyone? By the way, the offer's not mine. It's an offer that Jesus Christ made. Because these words, peace and happiness, there's other words for this. There's words like rest and ease. There's words like joy and contentment. I mean, if you think about happiness, if you feel happy, you feel at rest, at ease, and I don't mean you're lying down asleep, I just mean you're not anxious, your stomach's not in a knot, your mind's not racing, you're just at ease, you're relaxed. Jesus made this offer. Jesus made this offer. Come to me and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. He offers to help you, not just to help you to show you how to live. He offers to help you to live. It's a great offer. Jesus Christ is offering peace and happiness. And my question is, who's in? I'm in, right? For the other two who are in. The rest are probably too anxious to put their... It's a great offer, and we have these scriptures where Jesus spoke about this. John 10:10, I was reminded of that one this morning. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. What a great offer. What a great offer. To have life and to have it to its full. If you're here today and you are not experiencing life to its full, you are not at ease, there is an anxiety that has gripped your mind and your heart, there is something deeply troubling in your soul, please listen to what I have to say. And it's not because I'm saying it. It's because this is what Jesus Christ had to offer. And you could think, no, thank you. I don't need what you're offering because I have got my own way of finding peace and happiness. Thank you very much. And my question to you is this. How's it working? Because for most people, the way they find peace and happiness often involves severe medication, severe distraction, a lot of money, a lot of guilt, and often a headache the next morning. And how's that working? I want to offer you something that will cost you nothing. You can wake up in the morning, tomorrow morning, without a headache. You can wake up tomorrow morning without feeling guilty. In fact, you might wake up tomorrow morning singing. Because when you're happy, you sing. So, let's have a listen to what Jesus Christ revealed. He made this audacious claim that knowing him, coming to know him, is the only means of finding true peace and happiness. It's the only way to do it. What an outrageous claim, huge claim. And this is what he's offering. That if you accept what he says, not only will you know peace and happiness, because you will know a kind of peace and a kind of happiness that doesn't come in a pill, a bottle, a glass, or a motel room, you will be utterly different from most people around you. Utterly different. And for some people, that might be uncomfortable, and I would say, get used to it. If you want real happiness, if you want to experience real peace, the result is going to be that you are going to be different. And you are going to be different in the midst of a world that doesn't want you to be. It wants to grab you, suck you back into its mold, and make you just as miserable as they are. So, are you prepared to be different? Are you prepared to accept what Jesus Christ is offering and experience true peace, true happiness? It means you'll stand out. You'll be the odd one out. You'll be in your workplace. The things that they do to amuse themselves, you won't be amused by. The things they do to drown their sorrows, you won't participate in. They'll call you all kinds of names. They'll probably say all things about you. Are you prepared to be different if it means you'll experience true peace, true happiness? This is what Jesus said, John 16, verse 33, one of the last verses in chapter 16 of John. I have said these things to you. This is all the teachings of Jesus, that in me you may have peace. Now, I was thinking about this. In Jesus, when you know Jesus, you have peace. If Jesus is in your boat, no matter what storm comes, you're going to make it to the other side. You might as well go to sleep as well. Relax. If Jesus is in your boat, in the world, Jesus says, you will have tribulation. I think it's the Message Bible that says trials and troubles. That's what Jesus said you'll have in the world. Now, I know there are people who say that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you'll never have any more troubles. I don't know what planet they live on or what Bible they're reading. But Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble, but it's okay because if you're with me, you'll be at peace. You'll be at peace. And it's that kind of peace that's almost a synonym. It's almost the same word for happiness. But take heart, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Wow. And here's what I want to introduce you to. The world. It's the everybody. It's the whole system. It's the world that says you can do it by yourself. Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. You can do it your own way. As long as it's the same as what the rest of us are doing. And that's the world. Don't reference God. If you've got religious ideas, just keep it to yourself. Forget the fact that that itself is a religious idea which they want to force on you. So, it was Augustine who lived in the 4th century, late 4th century, early 5th, who wrote a book about his conversion. It was called Confessions. And Augustine, who grew up with a dad who was not a Christian, and definitely not a Christian, and a mum who became a Christian, Augustine grew up and was very sharp, very, very learned. Went to Milan and sat under the best teachers of the day. But prior to that, when he went to Italy, he would drink, he would party, he would carouse, he would do everything he could. And he says at the end of it, there was something deeply missing in his soul. Meanwhile, back in North Africa, his mother is praying for him to find Jesus. She's praying for her boy, Augustine. She hears that he's not doing too well. He's in the world. She travels to Italy, and meanwhile, she's praying for him. Augustine hears that there's a guy by the name of Ambrose in Milan who's a really good speaker, and he's curious to hear him. So he goes to this church and he hears Ambrose, who I think was the mayor of Milan. And he heard Ambrose talk about Jesus in a way Augustine had never heard. And something began to stir in Augustine that said, I think what he's talking about is what I need in my life. He wasn't sure. It was kind of the first time he'd ever heard it. He came away from there. His mind was just, what is going on now? Something is stirring in my soul. I don't know what it is. He sat down outside where he was staying. He happened to have a scroll, a handwritten copy of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Never read it. Just had it there. And as he's there and he's going, should I explore Christianity? He's wondering. He's beginning to have his soul cry out to a God he didn't even know if he even existed. And as he was there, suddenly over the hedge, there was a girl swinging on a swing. And she began to sing. What you're looking for is in the book. Take up and read. Take up and read. Take up and read. And it was a bit more melodic than that. It was probably in Latin too. And he just heard that as the voice of an angel. And he took this scroll and he opened it. And he began to read Romans. And he saw himself in Romans. And he began to see that all mankind has gone astray from the original path the Creator had made. And yet God in his great love has reached out so that man can once again find true peace and be really happy. And so the result was that he prayed a prayer of surrender to God, asking him to have his way in his life. And he later wrote this when he wrote this book called Confessions. You stir man to take pleasure in praising you. Because you have made us for yourself, he realized. And our heart is restless until it rests in you. Does your heart rest in Jesus? Are you anxious about all kinds of things without recognizing that Jesus gives rest to your soul? And in that rest, there is true peace and true happiness. All of this that Jesus is offering, rest, ease, peace and happiness, is summed up in this beautiful expression, eternal life. Eternal life. It encompasses everything your heart craves for. Everything. You crave significance, you crave respect, you crave approval. It's all there. You crave satisfaction, you crave to know that your life counts and it matters. It's all there. Give your life to Jesus. Let eternal life unfold in you and you will find the very deepest satisfaction that your soul is hungering after. Eternal life. It's what your heart is craving for. In John chapter 17, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, it's nearly all red letter, which means Jesus is praying, Jesus is talking. And here we have Jesus after he just said this before in John 16:33. The NIV opens up John chapter 17 verse 1 with the word then. After Jesus said, everything I've taught you is so that you can have peace in me. Then having said that, Jesus prayed this. And the whole thing is a prayer. And he's talking with his Father. And at this point, having said this, then he prayed this. He's walked off. And with him is no one perhaps except John, just at a distance, listening to this prayer. It's the most beautiful, intimate prayer anyone has ever prayed. It is sweet. It is affectionate. It reveals so much about God and it reveals a whole lot about Jesus. And in here, if you were to take the time to read it, you would see key after key after key after key to unlock your happiness. Let me give you the starting point just to get you started. John 17 verse 3. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Just soak that one into your soul for a moment. Just linger that one. Just take that one and hold it up like a diamond and slowly turn it in the light and grasp what Jesus is saying. If you want eternal life, all you have to do is know God and His Son Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. To know them. Just know them. Of course, that word know is not like know about. It's to come into that intimate place of mutual surrender, where God Himself is giving Himself to you, and you've come to that place where you're giving yourself to Him. It's mutual surrender. In the Old Testament, they used to use this word know to speak of a man and a woman on their wedding night. And Adam knew Eve. You see the intimacy there, it's mutual surrender. And Jesus says, eternal life is this, that they know you, that you surrender to Him. And you say, God, I want to know you and I want to know Jesus and I give you my life. And that's where happiness starts. That's where true happiness starts. And this is what I have observed about many Christians. They can get so easily distracted. They can get so kerfuddled. They can get so caught up in anxiety and worry that they forget that. That true happiness, true peace, true contentment, true ease, the end of anxiety comes from knowing who God is. And when you know Him, you cannot help but, Augustine said, praise Him. You just want to praise Him. You know, as I was in the worship this morning, there's something in my heart that says, oh God, I praise you because I want to. I praise you because I know you. You are awesome, oh God. There weren't those words on the screen, but that's what was coming out of my heart. I've got to tell you, there's been times when I've been distracted, when I've lost sight of the fact that eternal life is in knowing God. And you get anxious and you get worried and you get concerned and you go to sleep at night and you toss and you turn, your stomach's in a knot and your mind is racing. I've been there too many times. And I think that's human nature. And if you're here and your mind is racing and there's perhaps things that are just so distracting you right now, can I encourage you, this is eternal life, to know God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians toward the end of his life, said this, I have one great aim, was it Philippians 3:10, to know Him. I want to know Him. Isn't that amazing? Paul had been an apostle for 30, 40 years, and he says, I still don't yet really know Him. If you've been married for any length of time, and you really have this as an aim, to get to know the one you've married to, you won't be disappointed. And in an intimacy with God, you can know Him. You can experience peace from Him. When you receive eternal life from God, you will end up living differently from the world. The world wants to suck you in. The world wants you to drink what they drink. The world wants you to smoke what they smoke. The world wants you to pop what they pop. The world wants you to party like they party. And my question again is, and how's that working for them? Because we are living in a society where there are too many suicides, where there's too many medicated people trying to get over the guilt and shame of what they did in their past. Here's a free way to find true peace and happiness. Surrender your life to Jesus. Right now, there are young teenagers in this room right now, and you are half-hearted when it comes to your commitment to Christ. You are just going through the motions. You think it's all about just going to church. You think it's about, well, I'll just tick the religious box because that's what Christians do. You don't get it. I was 15 when the lights went on for me. 15. 15 years and 9 months, I mentioned on Christmas Day, I'd been dragged along to church. 15 years and 9 months, the 9 months bit is before I was born, I was even going to church. And for me, the most exciting part about church was checking on the number of bolts I counted in the rafters the week before to see if I got it right. It was not a fun time. And then one day, God got a hold of me. My eyes were opened. I began to see my true condition, and I began to see He was for me, not against me. And He invited me to come to Him and to get to know Him, and I said yes. And suddenly it all changed. And perhaps for many of you teenagers here today, it hasn't yet changed. And perhaps for some of you, you put on a mask that says, this is what a Christian's supposed to look like, so this is what I'll wear. Forget the mask, just be real. Be real. This is eternal life. That you know God. That's where you find it. Now, if you go through the rest of this chapter in John 17, you'll find key after key after key to your peace and happiness. So here's the question. Right now, are you in Christ? Right now, do you know God? Right now, are you enjoying the peace that He has to offer? When you know Jesus Christ, everything's okay. Everything's okay. And for the Christian, we may not know how it's going to work out, but we know who's working it out. To use another cliche, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And when you know that, when you know it in the core of your soul, you experience a peace and a happiness. And what does that happiness look like? It looks like smiling. It looks like laughing. It looks like singing. It looks like affection. When people are really happy, I don't know what it is. Whether the hug hormones get turned on or I don't know what it is. But people hug and they want to touch when they're happy. And when you do that, the world is going to look at you like you are, let's come back to where we started, the world's going to look at you like you are strange, odd, peculiar. And are you prepared to be strange, odd and peculiar? I hope so.
Our heart is restless until it rests on Jesus. Receiving eternal life will result in you living differently, and it's the path to true and lasting happiness, I promise you. More from Dr. Corbett next week. Podcasts and Finding Truth Matters resources, including tonight's program, Different, are available via the website findingtruthmatters.org or by contacting us at Lagana Media, PO Box 1143, Lagana, Tasmania 7277. For regular updates and special offers, visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/findingtruthmatters. Dr. Corbett is pastor of Lagana Christian Church and president of ICI Theological College Australia. We look forward to joining you again at the same time next week for another Finding Truth Matters.